The scripture passage this morning is very brief and yet full of meaning. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. If you have a Bible in front of you, please open it. Page 1 in the Bible. This is the word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I think I've told you that my wife was a chemistry major in college. She is very strong in math and chemistry. Surprising that she was interested in me, because I was a history and literature major in college. But there is one science that I loved, and that was astronomy. Since college, I have been reading about very exciting developments in astronomy that have given strong evidence for the universe and our planet being created by God. This morning, I'll try to explain a few of them to you as best I can, for as I said, I wasn't a science major. My understanding is really only that of a layman. But I want to encourage you to believe in God, the creator of all things. For many centuries, as you know, the Catholic Church believed that the sun and the planets revolved around the earth. They were following the scientific theory of a 3rd century BC Greek philosopher named Aristotle. Probably you've heard the name of Aristotle. It was the most widely accepted astronomical model for more than 1,000 years, that all of the stars and the sun and the moon and the other planets revolved around the earth, that we were the center of the universe. But then, in the early 1500s, there was a Polish scientist named Copernicus. After extensive observation through newly improved telescopes, he published the theory that the Earth and the planets revolved around the sun. What a revolutionary theory he proposed. And the Catholic Church didn't like his theory, and they tried to suppress it. I think they even excommunicated him because of it, because they thought it disagreed with the Bible. But in the long run, Copernicus's theory was proven to be correct. There is, in fact, in the Bible, nothing that says that the sun revolves around the earth. But the Catholic Church thought that Psalm 19, verses 5 through 7, agreed with Aristotle's theory. Psalm 19, 5 says, "In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It rises at one end of the heavens and it makes its circuit to the other end." Well, from the point of view of a person standing on the surface of the earth, of course, we see the sun rise in the east and go around us and come down in the west. And so it kind of looks a little bit like the sun revolves around the earth, doesn't it? Looks like it. But really, Psalm 19 is not saying anything of the sort. The Bible was saying nothing more than what we can see as people who stand on the surface of the earth. Well, this problem of the relationship of biblical interpretation to scientific theories isn't just a problem that the Catholic Church in those days had. It's also a problem that sometimes we face in Protestant churches. The Bible doesn't change, and yet scientific theories do change. They progress. And it's a good thing that both are like that, that the Bible doesn't change and that scientific theories grow and progress. Hundreds of years passed since the time of Copernicus, and telescopes got better and better. During the first half of the 20th century, astronomers noticed that distant galaxies were getting farther and farther from us. This led them to believe that the universe was expanding. They began to speak of a Big Bang that flung the galaxies into space so that the galaxies were getting further and further away from us, but they theorized that if the Big Bang is correct, there should be evidence in some kind of radiation as there is after an atomic explosion, for example. Well, by this time, in the 20th century, there began to be telescopes that could not just pick up light that is visible to the human eye, but there were telescopes that were sensitive to what is called infrared light. Infrared light that is emitted by stars, and telescopes that could pick up radio signals from black holes and pulsars. Maybe you've heard of black holes in the universe. Black holes that just draw in visible light, so you can't see them, but you can see that there's a big black void. And pulsars emit radio signals in a pulsating manner. Well, no light escapes from the gravity of a black hole, but in 1965, astronomers working at an Earth-based observatory in New Jersey noticed that there was always a certain level of static in whichever direction they pointed their radio telescopes. They couldn't get rid of it, no matter how carefully they cleaned the surface of their antennas. And they came to the conclusion that this constant, what they called background radiation, must have been emitted at the time of the initial explosion from which the universe came into being. And since then, they have been proven to be right. And from that confirmation of the initial Big Bang, one discovery after another in astronomy has flowed. We're getting beyond my college years. But in 1990, the Hubble Space Telescope was launched. You've heard, I think, of the Hubble Space Telescope. It was launched in the belly of a space shuttle so that it was able to get observers beyond the distorting effects of the Earth's atmosphere. You know, if you're looking through an Earth-based telescope, the clouds and the movement of heat in front of the lens of the of an Earth-based telescope causes waviness. But up there in the Hubble Space Telescope, the observers were able to get beyond the Earth's atmosphere and all of its distortions. And so with the Hubble Space Telescope, astronomers were able to see much, much further into the depths of space than they were ever able to see before. And they were able to see innumerable galaxies beyond our own Milky Way. So, pretty much all scientists came to believe in the Big Bang. Some believed, though, that there were many Big Bangs that occurred over and over again, that the universe exploded outward and then it gradually fell back on itself and then exploded again and so on, like a great heart that was beating eternally. Well, the exciting thing is that in recent years, that theory of multiple Big Bangs has been proven to be impossible. Because, for example, if you, just to use a simple example, if you were to take a rock and throw it up into the air, it would gradually slow down. It would slow down and then it would start falling back to the earth. Why? Because of the force of the earth's gravity pulling on that rock. And in the same way, after a Big Bang, you would expect that the expansion of the planets and the stars and the galaxies would gradually slow down by the force of their mutual gravity. But the strange thing is that that is not happening. That is not happening because astronomers have determined that the stars are flying outward faster and faster. There is no slowing up of the expansion of the universe preparing to fall back and explode outward again. And that shows that there was only one Big Bang, a beginning to the universe. Now I say to you, that is exciting. Because Genesis 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." There was a beginning. The universe is not eternal. God created it in the beginning. But that's only part of the story, because more was to follow from scientists, which pointed to God's creating the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, bringing it to fruition, bringing life into existence on this earth that God had created. As you know, of course, it has been widely believed in many circles, many scientific circles, that life appeared on Earth purely by chance, just dumb luck. Purely by chance, life appeared. Well, if that's so, there's no need for a creator, no need for a creator guiding the earth so that life would appear on the earth. Certain biologists, however, have shown that for life to have appeared on this earth, an amazing number of factors had to be adjusted exactly right for life to appear. For example, if the earth had been closer to the sun, sort of like the planet Mercury, it would have been too hot for life. If the earth had been too further away from the sun, it would have been too cold for life, like Pluto, way out there at the edge of the solar system, too cold for life. You'd freeze to death even the moment you stepped out of your rocket. If the moon and Jupiter and Saturn had not been there in the solar system to shield the Earth, there would have been life-destroying collisions with meteors and asteroids. You look at the surface of the moon and you see how pockmarked that is with meteors craters on the surface of the moon. But even different from that is that within the atom, the smallest particle of matter, even within the atom, if the attractive forces between the neutrons and the protons and the electrons that spin around it, if any of those forces had been even slightly different, scientists have found that life would have been impossible. It's hard to imagine that. But way down there on the smallest level, the attractive forces of the atom are adjusted in such a way that life is possible. Well, if there were no oxygen, as there are on so many of the planets and the asteroids, if there had been no oxygen, if there had been no water, imagine, life would not have been possible. Well, the list goes on and on and on. The factors which are finely tuned for life to have been created, for life to appear on this earth. Well, the scientists have no explanation for why all of these factors were lined up in such a way that life would flourish upon the earth. Well, let's say that I bought a lottery ticket. I don't know how much they cost, but let's say I bought a lottery ticket. What are the chances? Well, I don't know whether in Vermont you have lotteries or not, but in New York State, if I bought a lottery ticket, what would be the chance that I would win? Let's say 1 in 10 million. Not much of a chance that I would win the jackpot. And what would be the chance now, on top of that, of my winning the lottery every week for a year in a row? Oh, even winning it once, it's 1 in 10 million. But if I won it every week for a year in a row, the zeros would probably stretch from here to the moon and back and in such a way that the likelihood of all the factors for life, for me winning the lottery every day for a year, every week for a year, in the same way, the likelihood for all the factors for life lining up purely by chance, so that you and I could be sitting here this morning, is so tiny. One over, and I can't even say the number, one over 10 million times 10 million times 10 million. For all intents and purposes, that would be impossible. Impossible. Still, some people continue to believe that there is no creator, that everything fell into place completely by chance, and that faith in the existence of a creator is irrational. Pseudoscience, they call it. But just the opposite, in fact, is the case. Let me repeat to you, the possibility of life appearing by chance is so close to zero, for all intents and purposes, it's impossible that life was not created by God. Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." There was a beginning, as only the Bible teaches unequivocally. The universe did not exist eternally, as some religions teach. So look at the pictures. Maybe you get a National Geographic or something, an old National Geographic with the pictures of the stars and the galaxies taken by the Hubble telescope, space telescope, and give rein, free rein to your sense of wonder. Sense the beauty of it. And praise the God who created it all. Isn't it wonderful that the Bible teaches this? That our God created the earth and the heavens in the beginning. And that, as it says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. They do indeed, if you have eyes to see. Believe in him. Believe in this creator. He created this beautiful universe. With confidence, you can believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Though, of course, you need to have faith to see it. Because you can't see God. You can't put him in a test tube. God is a spirit, but he created mankind and this universe magnificently. And wonder of wonders, on top of all of that, he loves us. And he sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior, to restore us to fellowship with him. Let's pray.